This recording, Northern Ireland 8, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Get Secure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the Territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket and picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was a strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed with the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it would be a fair price for a cure. Oh, geocaching. Yes. The main person that was doing that was my mother. She was the one who started doing it. I didn't start doing it. She still loves it, and we're still kind of doing it. We don't do it as much as we used to do it years ago. It's just kind of, if you think about it, like any other hobby. Yes, you go back into it, and then you come out of it again, just with different commitments and stuff like that. But yeah, geocaching. When did we start that? It was about 2012, something like that. And the whole point of that, to explain to you again, was we found it great because it brought you to places you would never have thought of. And even if you may know an area really well, other people may know bits and bobs you don't. So going to somewhere you've never been before, it's great because it can bring you to little monuments or whatever. For example, my mother went to France, to Lourdes specifically, and there was a little cache hidden in a wall along a disused an abandoned railroad, and then it had this crazy mural, and the geocache was hidden inside the wall. She actually had to use her partial broken French to get someone to climb up and get it for her, but it reminds me of the cache I did in Fargo. I found it in one of the, it was like near a park of some sort, but it was in a tree. It was about 6 feet up. I was able to reach it, but the thing was, it was frozen into the tree. I couldn't grab it. And the whole point of geocaching is you find this little item. It could be like a magnetic item or stuck to a railing, or it could be a little lunchbox you find hidden away, and you have to sign this log to basically say, look, I was here, that's my proof, I found it. And then you put it on to the little app or the website recording on the log that you found it. But I couldn't do that because it was frozen in the bloody tree. I couldn't grab it at all.